The Gemara tells us about an Ir HaAsuya Kekeshes, a city which was situated like a rainbow. So what do? We fill the entire gap, virtually fill it with homes, and we consider the bow and the bow string, the virtual string which stretches from one bow head to the other, as though they're forming the outline to the city, and we fill it with homes, and we consider that as one entity, and we only calculate the Tchum territory from beyond that boundary. Rav Huna tells us that's only provided that the gap, the distance between the two bow heads, are less than 4,000, in which case the Tchumen will converge, meaning the territory beginning from one side, which is 2,000, heading over to the other side, will overlap the 2,000 territory originating from the other side, heading in his direction, because it's less than 4,000. So we consider the entire area as though it's one and connected, and they all form together the outline to the city, and we can fill the area within it with homes and chatzeris, and only calculate the boundary, the tchum boundary, from outside this outline. That's Rav Huna. Now what about the distance allowed between this bowstring and the bow itself? For instance, the crest of that bow, the middle point of that bow, which is far away from the string, how far can it be for us to connect them? So according to Rabba, the son of Rav Huna, it needs to be 2,000 or less. It's in the Tchum Shabbos. So when it's situated within its vicinity, it's considered to be one and the same, and they could all form together the outline of the city. Whereas Rava, his own son Rava Breid the Rabba Rav Huna, so he was the grandson of Rav Huna, he holds there's no requirement, there's no need to have the bow within 2,000 of the string. He says even if it's far apart, it's okay, because as long as technically he can find a way to access any point along that bowstring, that's okay. How's he going to do that? The Gemara says, Hadar Asi Derech Batim. He'll make his way through the homes along the bow till he gets to the tip of the bow, and then walk along that string, which is permissible because we said it's within 4,000, because it's to be one in the same territory. Therefore, since he technically can have access to any way along that bowstring, therefore, we consider that bowstring as the outline of the city, and we can fill it with homes. So that's the discussion of the Gemara. Now, Tosis points out that according to this Shita, who considers axis as the determinant here, says Tosis, the halacha that we mentioned earlier will change. This is Tosis on the Nehem and Aleph, Divra Masal, Pachis Medal Dalof. He says this requirement of Rav Huna to have the two edges of the bow within 4,000 for us to enable connection, that won't necessarily be required according to this Shita, who hinges things on accessibility. For instance, as Taisa says, let's say it so happens that the bow is close enough to the bowstring. It is 2,000 amas or less from the midpoint of the bow, for instance, to the bowstring. So there's direct access from anywhere along that keshes to anywhere, any point along that bowstring, right? There's direct access. So it says, according to the Shita, who determines that access is what carries a day, if that's the case, then we don't really care how long that bowstring is, how wide the gap between both tips of the bow are. Even if it's 5,000 apart, that's okay. Because as long as there's access from anywhere along the keshes to anywhere along that string, that's enough to combine them into one entity. So since the bow is situated within the vicinity of the bowstring, 2,000 amas or less, he has access anywhere along that route of the bowstring, that's okay. So it's a chiddush. And even if the distance between the two heads of the bow are more than 4,000, 5, 6, doesn't matter. Because according to the Shita, as long as he has access from the keshes to the string, they can combine into one and create the outline to the city, which is now considered to be a filled city. Now, Tosis points out another thing as well. Tosis on Nehem Beis, on the top Tosis, Vim Lav. He says like this. The Rav Huna tells us if the distance between both sides are less than 4,000, then they can be combined. And then you could figure the city from the bowstring, begin the tchum from there. But otherwise, if they're too far apart, The Gemara says, you can't calculate from the yeser, from the bowstring. Rather, moididin lo mina keshes. Where do you begin calculating the tchum? From the actual keshes itself, from the bill portion. Points out Tosfos that not necessarily do you have to go all the way to the bill portion of the keshes. Why? Because what's the concern? That the gap is too wide. It's 4,000 or more. But as soon as you begin entering that keshes, you proceed into the rainbow, it's going to narrow as you go along. So it says, as soon as it narrows to the point, and the distance from side to side is less than 4,000, you can stop right there. You can connect those two sides at that point, create that virtual bowstring, and consider that as the outline to your city. And fill the area within it, and begin calculating the tchum from that point onward, from that point beyond. So the Gemara says that if it's too wide, you have to be moided min hakeshes. So Tosfos says, loy min hakeshes mamish. It doesn't literally mean you have to go all the way to the built portion, all the way to the inside, to the interior of the keshes. Rather, as soon as you get to the point where the gap between both sides is less than 4,000, you can already connect them. And that's where your bowstring is placed. That's where your outline has been established. And the tchum begins from there outward. That's Tosfos. Now the Gemara gives us a whole list of various arrangements of structures which are considered to be a base tira, a living quarters, and therefore they can be included in the boundary of the city. One of the examples cited is the Bayis Shebayam, house out in the island, which is situated next to the city. The Gemara asks Akasha, Bayis Shebayam, home situated on an island, oh my chazi, what's it good for? What's it used for? And Papa says, we clear our kalim from the boats into that home. Therefore, it's considered to be a base dira. Ask the Chazanish, what's the Gemara's kasha? We have many cities, towns that are built on islands. What do you mean a house on an island is not suitable? Why not? So he says, apparently, one house on its own, on an island, is not really considered to be a proper base dira. Not really conveniently providing a place of dwelling. And therefore, the Gemara has the kasha. The Gemara answers, okay, it's going to provide storage for his kalim. Now, still not clear why. Why one house on an island? Sounds perfectly fine. Many people have their houses on isolated islands. So why is it that the Gemara has a problem with that? Why is that not considered a base dira? So perhaps what the Gemara means is that we're not just speaking about the inherent value of that home. Is it or is it not a base dira? We're speaking about including it in the boundary of the city. So perhaps, certainly a house sitting on an island, ideal vacation spot. Certainly it's a base dira. But it doesn't connect to the city, which is, it's now separated from the city with this huge body of water. How in the world can you connect it to the city? It's not considered to be part of the city area, part of the municipal boundary of the city. Since it doesn't serve the city, it's perfectly detached from the city with this body of water running in between. That perhaps is the Gemara's kasha. And the Gemara answers, it's serving the city. Because they use it to clear the kalim of the Sfina. So it's serving local residents. It's considered to be an extension of the city itself. A service area of the city. And therefore this Beis Dira can indeed be included in the municipal boundaries of the city.